You could be anywhere doing anything, but you're hanging out with us. We appreciate that. So wherever you're listening and however you're listening, we thank you guys for listening. And with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting episode of the Game Plan Podcast. Alex Goodwin is my name. You can follow me on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. Again, that's at Alex Goodwin TSM. That's T as in tacos, S as in sangria, M as in margaritas. Kennedy Miller.
Yes, sir.
Where can they find you on Twitter?
Find me on Twitter at underscore Kennedy Miller underscore. Again, that's underscore Kennedy, as in the former North Carolina standout Kennedy Meeks. Kennedy Miller. Miller as in the NBA Hall of Famer Reggie Miller underscore Kennedy Miller underscore.
All right. All right. And our friend who is fresh out of Twitter jail, Aaron Okadafua, my good man, where can they follow you on Twitter?
You guys can follow me on Twitter at SlendermanZ00. Again, that is SlendermanZ00. I am back and I'm better than ever and I'm not getting kicked off this time. I promise.
All right. All right. Football season is upon us. This is my favorite part of the sporting calendar. So this episode will be football focused. We're going to talk about college football a little bit later. But in this first segment, we're going to pick the division winners of the NFL's eight divisions. You guys ready?
Yes, sir.
All right. Here we go. We are going to start with the AFC North. Kennedy Miller, who you got?
I'm going with the Cleveland Browns. You know, I just think that them bringing in, you know, like John Johnson and even the draft pick, Greg Newsome, I think that their talent is a little bit too much. I felt like they were the most talented team in the North last year, but I felt like Pittsburgh would win that division. I was wrong. I think Cleveland got better, and I think that their offensive line, which was a problem a couple of years ago, is now one of the best in football. I'm going to go with the Browns to win that division.
I'm going to agree with you there. And I think the biggest thing that they did and the biggest thing that changed with the Cleveland Browns over the past few years has been coaching, because there was an argument that could have been made that that 2019 team had the most talented roster in the NFL. They just were poorly coached by Freddie Kitchens, a man who should not have been an NFL head coach. They bring in Kevin Stefanski, and Kevin Stefanski did a really good thing in that he focused on the offensive line, focused on running the football. In that way, he allowed Baker Mayfield to be better because Baker Mayfield had to do less. Like, focus on the play action, really run the ball, pound the ball, and then throw it over the top to Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham Jr. So I think they're going to keep doing that, and I'm going to pick them to win the North. Like, picking the Browns to win anything could totally backfire on you. But I think this Browns team, this is a 12-win football team. Aaron, who you got winning the North?
Okay. I'm going to go with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And the reason why I'm going with Pittsburgh is they're having one of those rosters that's looking like they're going to make a very deep run in the playoffs. This is definitely a not a farewell season for Ben Roethlisberger, but it's the classic, you know, aging quarterback who's still got some gas in the tank, rookie running back who's hungry, some solid pieces at the receivers, and then the defense is stacked. I mean stacked. I mean Cam Hayward, T.J. Watt, Fitzpatrick back there at safety. I mean, they're set to make a – I mean, they won, what, 10 straight games last year? So, I don't know. I think Baker's going to have a bounce-back year, but I don't think he's going to perform as well as he did last year, especially not against the Steelers. And those division games, either in Cleveland or Pittsburgh, can be miserable. So, I'm going to go ahead and go with the Steelers as the more advanced team, the more experienced team. I know that they have a great roster over there in Cleveland, but I think that defense takes care of that.
All right, we're going to move on to the AFC East. Aaron, we're going to start with you. Who do you have winning the East?
So with the East, that's actually a lot tougher for me. I'm going to go with Buffalo. I think the Patriots are going to have a great defense as they usually do every year, but Buffalo's dynamic. Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, and their defense is pretty solid too, with Trey White and their and Ed Oliver, who's really slept on as a great defensive lineman. I think he's going to make a big impact this year, probably make the Pro Bowl this year. So I want to go with the Bills for the East to come out of the East.
Kennedy, who you got?
I would agree with that. I think Buffalo is going to make it, unless the only caveat I will put out there is if Deshaun Watson gets traded to Miami. Deshaun Watson gets traded to the Dolphins, then, and he's actually able to play, which is, I guess, the biggest caveat to put out there.
Look, he might not be able to leave the jurisdiction pretty soon, okay?
Correct. So I think the Bills run away with this. Kind of like Aaron said, I'm more intrigued about New England and what they can do with, you know, and the rest of their roster. Now, some of those guys set out for COVID last year, especially on the defensive side of the ball. I think Miami will be interesting. See what Brian Flores has up his sleeve with Tua being a starter all year. And who am I missing? Buffalo, New England, Miami.
You're not missing anybody. You're not missing anybody at all.
You're fine. Anybody. You're fine. I'm not missing the Jets. So, yeah, Buffalo Bills. Move on.
I'm going to go with Buffalo as well. We're going to make it a clean sweep here. I think New England is going to be really interesting. You know, they really spent a whole lot of money getting Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith, getting a couple other receivers for Cam Newton. So we're going to possibly see if Cam Newton can actually play. They're going to have Dante Hightower. That defense is going to be back. And I'm just not as confident in Cam or this team as a whole. So I'm going to go with Buffalo, even though I really don't want to. We got to get to the AFC West. So I'm going with Kansas City in the West. I think it's going to be Kansas City. I think the Chargers will be much improved, getting Anthony Lynn up out of there. And they lost, I want to say, like 6 or 7 games by one score or less. So if the Chargers take a couple of those 2- and 3- and 4-point losses and turn those into wins, I think they'll be a playoff team. But I still think it's Kansas City's to lose. They had a whole lot of injuries on that offensive line. Like in that Super Bowl where Patrick Mahomes didn't even have time to breathe, they were missing 3 of their 5 starting offensive linemen. So be that as it may, I think Kansas City might only lose 1 or 2 regular season games. Ken, who you got?
I think this should be a clean sweep as well. I think the Chiefs are going to win it. Chargers will be better, like you said. I mean, they brought in Orlando Brown from the Ravens. They got 2 other linemen, Kyle Long and Joe Thuney. Patrick Mahomes was running for his life in that Super Bowl and still pulled off some spectacular throws that just weren't completed. I don't know if it's too early to say, but right now, they are looking like the favorite to go to a third straight Super Bowl because it's not that many holes in their team, to be quite honest with you. And barring injury, they are on paper the preseason favorites to go to unprecedented in the 2000s, third straight Super Bowl.
Yep.
Am I missing the team that went 3 straight?
I don't believe you are. And here's the crazy thing about Kansas City, if we think about it, right? Kansas City was a D Ford offsides play from going to a 4th Super Bowl.
Correct.
In a row. So, Aaron, who you got?
Of course, I got the Chiefs. I think that the situation with Denver and Teddy Bridgewater is going to be interesting to keep an eye on, just to see what he does out there. But it kind of sucks being in his position to, you know, go fight for a starting position, and then now you're stuck with the Chiefs. You got to play twice a year to try to get to the playoffs. So, that kind of sucks. But, definitely got the Chiefs taking it all for the AFC.
Moving on to the AFC South. Kennedy Miller, get us going.
This should be a clean sweep as well, I guess. I got the Tennessee Titans. I just think the acquisitions of Julio Jones specifically just kind of put them over the top in a division that is very questionable right now, which has been questionable for most of this century. Obviously, the Texans are a complete mess right now.
There's no need to talk about them.
Correct. The Jaguars are too young. I'm interested to see what Urban Meyer and Trevor Lawrence would do. Glad they cut Tim Tebow, though. And then there's the Colts. And Carson Wentz is already injured before his first regular season game, which I thought that they were a dark horse, but depending on how long he's out, and I think Sam Ehlinger is hurt as well, so they were saying that Jacob Eason might be the starter week 1. I think the Tennessee Titans will take this. I think they've got too much offensive firepower and behind. Oh, wait. I was about to be a little sacrilegious. Okay, so I'd go Chiefs, Browns, Ravens. I think that they would be the 4th best team in the AFC.
Okay. Aaron, who you got?
I'm going with the Titans as well. I truly believe they are the 2nd best team in the AFC. And they're not that much farther behind the Chiefs, honestly. Adding Julio Jones with the 2,000-yard rusher, I mean, I think people are giving this enough attention. This is about to be an offensive explosion we're going to witness out there. And not to mention, they still have A.J. Brown. Like, are we? we're not accounting for how many weapons they really have on offense. That's going to be nasty to watch. I think they lose maybe four games this year. Maybe four games. And they definitely win the AFC South. So, yeah. Tennessee.
So, there are really only two teams in the AFC South worth talking about, to be honest with you. So, it's already a two-horse race going in. Mm-hmm. And then, with Carson Wentz being out, and then with Ellinger being out, and now they're having to go to their third stringer, Jacob Eason, who none of us think is very good. Tennessee was bound to win this division anyway, but it also helps that they're really damn good. Like, that also really, really helps them, right? So, like you guys said, given that the fact they have Derrick Henry, then they have those two mammoth receivers on the outside, all they need Ryan Tannehill to do is be competent. Back there at quarterback. Mm-hmm. Ryan Tannehill does not have to throw for 4,000 or 5,000 yards. He doesn't have to throw for 300, 400 yards a game. He just needs to keep the car. What do I like to say, Kennedy Miller?
10-2.
Don't crash the car. And when you only have to ask Ryan Tannehill to keep it at 10-2 and don't crash the car, he's pretty doggone good. So I'm going to go with Tennessee there. And once again, I'd like to tell you guys, during this football season, don't ask me shit about the Texans. Because I'm done. I told you, I'm done. I told the Texans to leave me alone, get your bags, get the hell on. All right, I'm finished. I'm doing just fine. Okay, I'm finished. If this is a Tyler Perry movie, if I'm Helen, I've moved on and got with the light-skinned gardener. I'm finished. I'm with Boris Kojo now. I'm done. It's over. Don't ask me about the Texans no more. I've moved on. I'm glowing. And speaking of, I think there's a team the two of you need to move on from as well. And that is a team we're going to move to. We're going to talk about just in a second in the NFC East. So, guys, who you got winning the NFC East? And I have a good feeling you're going to pick the team that's been letting you down for the past 20 years.
Well, if they let me down for 20 years, they can let me down for the 21st. Because the Dallas Cowboys will win this division. You talk about the AFC South and how it's only really two teams fighting. I feel that way about the NFC East. It's just going to be us and the Washington football team. We know what Daniel Jones is at this point. They got better, especially on the defensive side of the ball, but I still do not trust Daniel Jones. Philadelphia Eagles, I don't think they trust Jalen Hurts. I don't know why. I don't know why they would trade for Gardner Minshew. That's none of my business. I think that the Eagles made a terrible mistake firing their coach and hiring this guy. He's just a guy. So I think it's between the Dallas Cowboys and football team who have a great defense. They literally have a defensive line full of first rounders that I fear entirely, but I do not fear their quarterback situation. So my quarterback is by far the best quarterback in the division. That gives us something. Now, if his arm is okay, if his ankle is okay, we are winning that division with 10 wins.
Aaron?
Of course, I'm going with the Dallas Cowboys. I think that's pretty obvious, though. They are the best team on paper, on field, really. I'm going to say the Giants are, they are kind of worrying me a little bit. Not their defense at all, really. But their offensive weapons aren't that bad anymore. Saquon's back. They have Ingram. They got Galladay. And so they have some pieces. If Daniel Jones, for some reason, gets it together, that's going to be a scary offense to watch. Other than that, I'm not really worried about anybody else. The football team, kind of like Kennedy said, they have a great D-line, which they can wreak havoc, and they have before. But I just don't think their offense is going to keep up. And so hopefully, you know, we can get out there, toss touchdowns really early and just keep the lead for those games. But Dallas is they're primed and ready to have a great run this year. I know we say that every year, but barring injury, we are primed and ready to have a great year this year. So when it finally happens, you know, when it finally does happen, we are going to act an entire ass, but that's the conversation for another day.
Can I say something? Y'all have been saying this. It's our year. When it happens, we're going to act ass. Y'all been saying that shit for the last how long? 20? Kennedy Miller, how long you been alive? 24 years?
24 years.
Yeah, just about. Right?
Just about.
And how many times the Dallas Cowboys genuinely giving you something to cheer about and be happy about? Like twice?
We don't have to do that.
Moving on. guys, despite everything I just said about the Dallas Cowboys and how, and the fact that they have a relentless commitment to mediocrity, they have probably the most talented, one of the three or four most talented rosters, at least offensively, in the league. Right? They're in a weak, pretty doggone weak division. This Dallas team should win like 9 or 10 games. They should. Like, my mind is telling me to pick them to win the division. Right? That's what my mind is telling me. But for some reason, I just cannot get what I can't just, the hurdle I can't jump over is the fact that they fired Jason Garrett and were a worse football team. That's the hurdle I'm having trouble jumping over. Right? I think in the end, it's going to come down to them and the team. And what really gives the team a whole lot of hope, they have monsters on that defensive line. And when you only have to rush 4, that frees up everybody else behind them. If you can get to the quarterback with 4, if you can crash the pocket with 4, you got a shot to win every single ball game that you're in. And also, quiet as it's kept offensively, they've got Terry McLaurin, who's one of the best young receivers in the league. They got Curtis Samuel from Carolina, right? They've got a pretty good young running back, Antonio Gibson. Quarterback is their only issue. Right? But if they can win ugly, they've got a shot to win this division. So against my better judgment, I'm going to pick the Dallas Cowboys, but I'm pretty sure I'm probably going to end up being wrong again. So yes, it's a clean sweep. The Cowboys for the NFC East.
Thank you.
To the NFC North. Who you got?
I'm going to go with Green Bay winning that division. I think as long as Aaron Rodgers is out there playing with Devontae Adams and Aaron Jones and the Smith brothers over there at Green Bay is just a lock to win 11, 12 games.
I'm going with Green Bay as well. If anything, for more so Devontae Adams than Aaron Rodgers. I mean, that guy, that man is nasty. But don't sleep on Minnesota, though. I think they have a pretty nice offense, even with Kirk Cousins. Dalvin Cook and Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, Kyle Rudolph, they're going to make some plays. Kyle Rudolph's still there, right?
Yes, I believe so.
Yes, I'm pretty sure he's still there.
Kyle Rudolph, but, I do not see him on the roster, guys.
Oh, he's for the Giants. He got signed to the Giants.
Yeah, I'm like,
God, really? Why did they all come to the NFC? Is that just me, or did a lot of players come to the East this year?
Don't say anything.
a little troubling.
Don't say anything. His decision. Oh,
like, wait a minute, them two? My God.
Alright, so I'm gonna go with the Packers. Minnesota has a very, very, very talented roster, right? That if they had a better quarterback, they could probably like be actual contenders. But this Kirk Cousins thing is just not gonna work. They've tried this for 3 or 4 years. It's just not it, guys. So be that as it may, being that this is Aaron Rodgers' last year in Green Bay, they're pulling out all the stops. They even went out and got Randall Cobb, even though he's not that good anymore. They'll be pretty good this year because, you know, Chicago, they're not sure what they're doing at quarterback. Detroit is Detroit, and they've got Jared Goff at quarterback. And dear God, look, anytime Sean McVay, the boy genius, is like, I can't do nothing more with him.
Yep.
And all Sean McVay was like, throw to this guy. And Jared Goff couldn't do that. I'm going with the Packers. So, to win the West, Ken, who you got?
I got the Rams. We just kind of talked about Sean McVay and his struggles at quarterback, and he found a quarterback that he seems to believe in, that a lot of people either, in my opinion, either overrate him too high or underrate him too low. And I'm very interested to see what Matt Stafford does in that Rams offense with Sean McVay and how he actually plays on a team with a competent defense. You know, there were times where he had a competent defense in Detroit with Sue and Nick Fairley and those guys, but the offense kind of lagged with just him and Calvin Johnson. And then there were times when their defense was absolutely terrible and it was just him and Calvin Johnson. So, I think the Rams are going to win this division. I think that they are the best. They have the best roster in the NFC West. I do think this is, let me preface my point by saying this. I think this is the best division in football. With Seattle, with San Francisco, will they pull the plug on Jimmy G and start Trey Lance at some point during the season? I don't know what's going to happen with Arizona. They're a team that I could see winning, getting hot, winning 8 or 9, 10 games. And I could see them also, just kind of being underwhelming and winning only 5 or 6. So I'm going to go with the safest bet, and that is choosing the Los Angeles Rams.
I'm going to disagree with here. I'm going to go with Seattle.
Okay.
Going with Seattle. I think given that Seattle has done a little bit to fortify the offensive line, and I think it's also related to the fact that with San Francisco, I'm really unsure about them. And to me, what I'm unsure about is the quarterback situation. Like, when you trade up as high as they did to draft a quarterback, the implication would be that that quarterback is going to start day one, given that San Francisco has a win now roster. But they're kind of vacillating back and forth on whether they want to start either Trey Lance or Jimmy Garoppolo. And, you know, the old saying goes, if you have two quarterbacks, you really don't have one. Mm-hmm. And we've seen what this Jimmy Garoppolo thing looks like. And with Jimmy Garoppolo at quarterback, they have a clear ceiling. But despite Jimmy Garoppolo's clear ceiling, is Trey Lance ready to be an NFL starting quarterback? That's the question that has to be asked. And given that they're going back and forth on it, I would tend to think that answer is no. Because if he was ready, they'd be like, yeah, Trey Lance is the dude. Jimmy Garoppolo can kick rocks.
Mm-hmm.
So given that, I'm going to go with the most consistent. What's been the most consistent team of the past 10 or 11 years in this division has been Seattle with Russell Wilson. They've still got Tyler Lockett, still got DK Metcalf, still got just a really talented roster out there. And I think Russell Wilson, above anything else, that's just a dude that can just win you games when you need to. He can win two or three games just by himself. Just Seattle has Russell Wilson and other teams don't. Sometimes that's enough to just win you a ball game and give you that extra push over the hump to put you in the win column. So I'm going with Seattle. Aaron, who you got?
I'm going with San Francisco.
Whoa!
Yeah, Alex, you mentioned the ceiling with Jimmy Garoppolo, but I mean, let's be real, that ceiling did reach the Super Bowl. Not only the Super Bowl, but a 10-point lead.
Hold on. Stop. That was about that defense. Because when they needed Jimmy Garoppolo to make a play, he couldn't do it. When it was time for Jimmy Garoppolo to actually make a play, when they were, I guess, it was like a minute and a half left in the half. Kyle Shanahan let the clock run down, ran two plays, and basically went into the locker room at halftime. He don't trust Jimmy Garoppolo to make plays. That was having monsters in the front seven. But continue.
Okay. With that being, because I was going to give credit to the defense for getting them there as well, but the defense there is still pretty solid, and they still have George Kittle, who is a beast. I think he's the best tight end in the entire NFL. I love Travis Kelce, but I do think he's better. He's a better blocker for sure, and he does pretty much everything Kelce does. So that, to me, puts him over the top. I think Garoppolo is one of those game managers who can really, really manage the game well. And, okay, granted, he didn't do so well at the highest stage when it mattered the most, but I think they come out of the division. I think they win I think it's you that said that. Having two quarterbacks basically means you don't have one. If they really felt like Lance was that guy, there wouldn't be a question about it. I like Garoppolo's game. I think, I don't know, something about the whole Patriots thing and coming over to San Francisco and doing good over there. I guess I just root for the guy. But I really do believe those 49ers have the best team overall, despite the Russell Wilson factor, which does give you an extra game or two per season. But yeah, I'm going to go ahead and go with the 49ers.
You're about the only one that really likes Jimmy Garoppolo's game. Because to be honest with you, I don't think Kyle Shanahan likes Jimmy Garoppolo's game much either.
I understand why you say that. I really do. But every time he's in the game, they have a 3-1 better chance of winning. I think that's like the numbers for when he's in the game, when he's not in the game. I mean, that does speak some type of volume, even with a great defense. It seems with that great defense and all those great players on offense, when Garoppolo's not there to string it all together, they can't get it together. So sometimes you just need a guy who's like that.
I mean, I think the issue is that a lot of offensively what's been going on in San Francisco has been Kyle Shanahan scheming stuff. And a lot of times Garoppolo, all he's having to do is throw to dudes that are butt naked open. Right. And given that they had monsters in the front seven a couple years back, they gave them a really short field, gave them a whole lot of turnovers. He didn't have to do much. It was a 10-2, don't crash the car type of situation. But again, like I said earlier, if they felt that confident in Jimmy Garoppolo, they wouldn't have mortgaged the future to move up and draft a quarterback. They might not be confident enough for Trey Lance to start tomorrow, but they ain't much more confident in Jimmy Garoppolo to start tomorrow either. And that's the problem. But we got to leave it right there. But we will be right back with more of the Game Plan Podcast on the other side of the break. Coming up next, I interview John Hickman. He is the host of the Locked On Texans podcast for the Locked On Sports Network. We're going to talk about the upcoming NFL season and a lot more. Don't go too far. This is the Game Plan Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Game Plan Podcast. Alex Goodwin is my name. You can follow me on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. Again, that's on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. That's T as in Tangeray, S as in South Dakota, M as in Marmalade. Joining us here on the show, friend of the show, John Hickman. He hosts a Locked On Texans podcast for the Locked On Sports Network. John, how you doing today, my man?
I'm great, man. Happy to be back to talk some sports, share the same space with my brother in sports, my brother, period. That is a good one. I'm happy to be back. Thank you for inviting me on the show. Let's get it, man. Let's talk. Let's argue a little bit. Let's see what's on the plate.
All right, man. All right. So as you know, I am done with the Houston Texans. Like, I can't do it no more. I have been in a 20-year abusive relationship, and I'm done. You still cover the Texans. So I'm going to ask you a question just for the listening audience, not really much so for me. Are the Texans actually going to win a game or two this year?
I think, honestly, that is their floor, three games for me. I think when they open up week one against the Jacksonville Jaguars, you're going to be playing a rookie head coach and a rookie quarterback. And I also think Lovie Smith has done some things with this defense that Texans fans should be happy for. Should be happy about, rather. They've gotten better. They switched the defense from a 3-4 to 4-3. It fits the personnel that they have on that roster. Their front four looks totally better than what it did last year. Their linebacking core looks better than last year. They can fly. They can make tackles. But Najee McKinney is no longer there. And you're not going to expect Zach Cunningham to drop back in that deep third as much as he did last year. Play a little bit more of those flats, right? And so, you know, I'm looking around this defense. I feel like week one, Lovie can give that rookie quarterback a real welcome to the NFL. I also see the Panthers as a win because they're going to be going up against a team that's led by Sam Darnold, who I definitely believe he's in a better situation overall, better team, better head coach, better environment than the New York Jets. But am I totally, you know, am I really rocking with this new Sam Darnold and new home type of feel, or do I believe that there's still some type of Sam Darnold that we've seen before? He has looked good in the preseason, but I think this defense can cause him little problems. And I think Houston steals the game against maybe the Colts early on. They will be without a couple of key players. I think they can steal one against them. But overall, you know, I don't see this team winning more than five games. I think they can squeeze out three. Five is me being very generous, but that's it. I don't think they'd be winless. They're winless this year. I don't think they're a winless team. But overall, you know, I think Texans fans need to make sure they got their gin, their yak, whatever that they need as they watch these games ready with some ice. And at some point, you maybe want to drink it without ice because they're going to take you through some rough times this year.
For all the Texans fans out there, just get ready for the Spencer Rattler Sweepstakes. Tank for Rattler, okay?
Are we really buying in the Rattlers? Are we going to really rock for Rattler?
I mean,
like, is Rattler that type of quarterback?
I think he is. Personally, I think he is. I think he's probably one of the two or three best quarterbacks in college football. And, you know, given the size, given the pedigree of being an Oklahoma quarterback, I think he's going to be probably the first quarterback off the board, either him or Sam Howell from North Carolina. And
you know, I'm looking at his, and I have to cut you off, I apologize, but
you're all good.
Pretty quick, I'm looking at that he plays for Lincoln Riley. And Lincoln Riley, who has put two Heisman quarterbacks in the league, you know, that helps out. He puts Jalen Hurts in the league, he plays for Philly, drafted in the second round, who, you know, I think Philly definitely overpaid for him in the second round. They could have waited until a couple of rounds later. And I think that's ultimately why they just traded for Minshew, because they don't really believe in him. But you know, Lincoln Riley has put some quarterbacks in the league. But I think Lincoln Riley is the reason why Rattler is getting their love. I'm going to really be checking him out this year to see if he's actually all hype or he's about their business.
Again, we're talking to John Hickman, the host of the Locked On Texans podcast for the Locked On Sports Network. We were just talking about quarterbacks, so we're going to keep the topic on quarterbacks, most specifically the Texans quarterbacks. So what have you seen in training camp and in preseason from Davis Mills and Tyrod Taylor?
And Davis Mills, you got to look at it like this, man. I was drafted in the third round, only played a handful of games, I think 13 or 12 games in college due to injuries and so on and so forth. A team believed in me, come in, and they understand where I am right now. There's going to be a learning curve that I have to go through, a learning period where I got to get adjusted to the NFL, which we saw this past Saturday against the Bucs. Three interceptions. Two of those were just, you know, dumb passes, dumb mistakes. But he does have an arm. He can make throws, but he shouldn't play a game this year. If Davis Mills plays a game for Houston that's not cleanup minutes, and if I say they only going to win three games, do I believe Houston? Do I think this team is going to have cleanup snaps available? No. So if he goes out there and he's in there because the game is so far to lead, that's fine. He playing meaningful snaps, Houston definitely has a problem. And he needs to continue to learn the NFL, continue to learn how to read coverages, continue to go through a second and third read, continue to be at a place where he's comfortable behind center in the league. Because I, you know, honestly, to be fair to him, how comfortable can a guy who only played 13 games in college be in the NFL? All right?
That's very fair.
For Tyrod Taylor, that's very fair. And so his criticism is going to come with, I guess, a grain of salt. We're going to continuously say, but he's a project, but he's a project, but he's a project. And it's not his fault he was drafted in the third round. So he need all the time he can get. As far as Houston and Tyrod Taylor, I'm hard-pressed to believe they're not searching the quarterback market right now. Teams are about to start cutting guys. They got to trim their team down to 53 men. Quarterbacks are going to get cut. They're also going to be quarterbacks that may have played very well in the preseason that teams may look to want to move. Houston does have some draft capital that they can probably pair for this upcoming draft or the year after to bring in somebody that can really, may at some point, if need be, start a game for Houston. Because I'm not thoroughly impressed with Tyrod. I think the Texans didn't do him justice by only playing him one or two series in the first two games of the preseason. Saturday, he played more games, more snaps, more series, but he didn't impress. And I think that was because he's used to playing against his guys outside of playing against other teams. Should have played more against the Packers. Should have definitely played more against the Cowboys. And now when we see you play more snaps, we're scratching our head wondering, you know, at some point, what should Houston do at quarterback? They're going to have a difficult time trying to figure out how to execute that offense. I think Houston will have a pretty good identity of their offense and what they want to do. Kudos to Tim Kelly and David Culley. They've been working hand in hand on finding ways to implement the run, but not have it be a simple I formation lead play, I formation dive play, I formation stretch. Like, we're seeing them get creative in styling up these runs, scheming up these runs, that's for sure. But when the run isn't working, or if you need a play made through the air, question now becomes, do you trust Tyrod? And after Saturday's game, that's still a question going into week one in a couple of weeks.
Again, we're talking to John Hickman, the host of the Locked On Texans podcast, moving a bit broadly to the broader NFL. So, John, what team do you believe is going to exceed expectations and possibly become a playoff team this year?
I say this every year, and I don't know why, but something about this team sucks me into believing, but I think the LA Chargers are a team that squeezes into the playoffs this year. I think their 17-game schedule helps them a little bit more. They got an opportunity with their quarterback, who I'm very big on. They have very good offense. They have a very good defense that I just want to stay healthy this year. Derwin James is back, and boy, is he making plays. I think that's the one team that may exceed expectations. Because remember, they lost a lot of one-score games last season. They were in a position to where whatever their record was could have been flipped and they could have gotten to the playoffs if it wasn't for Anthony Lynn and the abysmal time management, clock management, coaching management job that he did with his team. He's gone. So if he's going, I'm thinking, okay, maybe his blueprint and his fingerprints that was left on this team that made this so bad, that's going. They bounce back, and they got all the tools to get it done. Great quarterback, good running game, good defense, great wide receivers. I think they're the team that squeezes in.
So given that we've already just discussed a team that you believe is going to exceed expectations, what is a team that you believe that will not meet expectations for the upcoming season?
Man. That's a great question. Well, because this team, every year the Dallas Cowboys goes into the season with these expectations. They got Hard Knocks this year. Before we even get back to football, have you watched an episode of Hard Knocks this year?
I actually have not. I've had a lot going on, moving to a new apartment. Had to get done teaching my class this summer. I haven't had a chance to catch Hard Knocks, but that is on my list on my HBO Max.
Congratulations on your new apartment and all your endeavors, man. I tell you what, I'm pretty sure you've been through things before. You had a lot going on, but at the end of the day, before you laid your head on the bed, you made time to watch Hard Knocks. Nobody even cares. I have not seen Hard Knocks talked about this year, but every year, the Dallas Cowboys, what did Jerry Jones do in the offseason that he thinks is going to take this team over the hump? And credit to Jerry. Jerry is a Kings businessman. You know, this year going into it, now all of a sudden you're going to get Jimmy Johnson into the ring and you already got Hard Knocks. And, everything's going on. You're at the Hall of Fame weekend. He knows how to pull people in and get people ready for the season. And as much as we hate the Cowboys and think they're not America's team, they have the biggest fan base. So you got Cowboy fans in New York. You got Cowboy fans in Hawaii. That's weird. They got the biggest hype, and I still think they're going to let you down. I ain't seen Dak Prescott play since last year. I don't know what his shoulder's going to be like. I don't know what this revamped offensive line going to be like. I don't know if Zeke can continue what he's doing. He had a down year last year. Can he be that number one running back still? They have to rework his contract, or are we going to see more of Tony Pollard with this three wide receiver weapon that they got in Cooper and CeeDee Lamb, and that boy's cold. You still got them other boys out there. Will they be able to even catch the ball? Because God knows if Garrett Gilbert is out there throwing him the ball and not Dak Prescott, it's going to be a whole different situation. I think that's going to be the team where we sit back and say, damn, how they let Washington win the division? Damn, how they let Daniel Jones, a Giants led by Daniel Jones, who still has his own questions to answer, how we let them win the division? I think by the end of this year, that's going to be the question. And they can't go 8-8. Somebody got to go either 9-8 or 8-9.
That is a very, very fair point. But we got to get you out of here, my man. It has been a pleasure talking with you. Let the folks know where they can find your show, you know, the Locked On Texans podcast and everything and the rest of your work that you're doing.
Absolutely, man. It was a pleasure being on. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Texans. You can follow me personally on Twitter at Some Sports Guy with two Y's. Once again, follow me on Twitter at Some Sports Guy.
All right, man. We appreciate you for joining us, and we will be right back with more of the Game Plan podcast on the other side of the break. Don't go anywhere. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Game Plan Podcast. Alex Goodwin is my name. You can follow me on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. Again, that's on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. That is T as in Texas, S as in Southern, M as in Missouri. Kennedy Miller.
Yes, sir.
Where can they find you on Twitter, my friend?
You can find me on Twitter at underscore Kennedy Miller underscore. Again, that's underscore Kennedy as in the former president, John F. Miller, as in the former Miami Heat, Philadelphia 76er, Mike Miller, underscore Kennedy Miller, underscore.
All right, all right. Aaron, where can they find you on Twitter?
Yes, sir. You can find me on Twitter at Slenderman Z, as in zebra, 00. Again, that is at Slenderman Z, 00.
We're going to finish up the show here with some game picks. We're going to pick the games from the opening week of the college football season. You guys ready to go?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's get it rolling. So, number one, Alabama versus number 14, Miami in Atlanta. Aaron, who you got?
I got Bama. I think they're probably going to go undefeated this year and take it all the way per usual. That wouldn't be anything surprising, though, honestly. But yeah, they're definitely going to start off hot. They usually do. So I'm going with Bama.
Kennedy, who you going with?
I would tend to agree. If we're going educated guesses, it's not many things that are more reliable than picking Alabama to win a football game, especially opening weekend. I do think it's going to be a very good game. I think Miami's got some talent, but I think, and we are kind of talking about this before we got on air, it's only about four or five teams. And really, when you think about it, when you look at just a roster, it's just only about two to three teams that have a roster that can match up with Alabama. And so I'm going to go with Alabama to win this one.
Nick Saban, year in, year out, has won these kickoff game matchups in emphatic fashion. So I don't think this one will be any different. Yes, they are replacing Mac Jones and Devontae Smith and Jalen Waddle and Najee Harris and a number of offensive linemen. But with Alabama, it's never a rebuild. It's always a reload because they got more 4 and 5 stars coming right in. Bryce Young is going to be their starting quarterback. I think we're going to start off hot. Even though Miami does have De'Aaron King, and it feels like De'Aaron King has been in college for like 10 years now.
Yep.
I think that Alabama defense is going to be much improved from what it was last year. Getting that transfer linebacker from Tennessee really helps, and they've got really good edge rushers. So I'm going to pick Alabama to win this one. Moving on, we've got number 21, Texas, taking on the number 23 ranked Louisiana Lafayette Ragin' Cajuns. Kennedy Miller, please give me some hope. Rarely am I asking or looking for hope, but try to give me some.
Texas is going to win this game. It's going to be the kickoff to the start of Steve Sarkisian's wonderful time being the new head coach of University of Texas. Hopefully, they will close Sixth Street to him so that he will not fall into one more of those, another one of those spells that he did at USC. But listen, alcoholism is a real thing, and I do not wish it on anybody. I hope that Texas wins this game because it'll be very similar to those losses against Maryland that were just unnecessary and uncalled for from a Power Five school, much less a school at the caliber of Texas. So I got Texas winning this.
Aaron,
I got Texas coming away with the W. They do terrify me because on any given Saturday, they will just lay an egg out there. So, but I'm going to trust them as opening weekend. So hopefully they'll have it all together, be motivated with a new coach, you know, got something to prove. So, yeah, I'll go with Texas.
As a long-suffering Texas fan, these past 12 years have not been kind to me. The fact that I have any sort of hesitation that we're going to beat Louisiana Lafayette, my, have we fallen far. My God. I need somebody to give me hope that we're going to be Louisiana Lafayette. Jesus.
You want to pick them too.
I'm going to, but I swear for God, if they lose this game, I'm not coming on here for a month. I really might not. Like, y'all can do this show without me. Now, they've got, with Texas, the thing has always been, though, over the past 10 or 11 years, they have the talent. This is not for a lack of talent. This has been for a lack of good coaching, good clock management, and player development. They've got one of the best running backs in the country in Bijan Robinson. They've got a lot of talent on this team. But, and to be honest with you, outside of Oklahoma and Iowa State, they should win 10 games this year. They've got the talent to win 10 games, but they've had the talent to win 10 or 11 games for a while.
That is very true.
So, against my better judgment, I'm going to pick Texas to win this game. But I tell you what, Kennedy Miller, Aaron, another couple of rough Texas Longhorn seasons, and I'm going to give them up too.
You going to give them up too?
Look, life's too short to be unhappy.
Hey, he's not lying, man.
Look, my skin is already much better now the Texans are out of my life. If the Texas Longhorns keep up, they're going to be gone too. But let's keep going. To the game of the weekend, number 3 Clemson versus number 5 Georgia. Ken, who you got?
That's tough. I think I'm going to go with Clemson here. I wouldn't be surprised either way, but yeah, I'm going to go with the Football Lives Matter Dabo Sweeney. I just think when we talked about those 2 to 3 rosters that are the best rosters in football, I think Clemson is up there with the Alabama and the Ohio State. And They're just bringing in more guys, not the rebuilding. They're just retooling and reloading, because you would think after what has it been 3 years of Trevor Lawrence?
Yep.
That there might be a drop off. I'll let Aaron speak more to this, but the quarterback that they have now seems to be on par with the likes of him. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens in this game. But I think Clemson is going to win it.
I think DJ, I cannot say his last name. You got Ui Yagalele, I think.
You got it.
Oh, okay. There you go. But yeah, he's up next. Let's clarify that here and now. He's definitely up next. He's going to give announcers a lot of sleepless nights practicing his name, but they're going to have to get used to it very soon, because he's going to be a household name. So we'll see. Georgia has a pretty good defense. They have some good players on offense as well. Some solid pieces. But their quarterback situation, I don't even know who's their quarterback now. Who's their quarterback now?
JT Daniels.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to still stick with the Clemson. And they just put me fear in my heart. So
guys, I'm going to disagree with you here. I'm going to go with Georgia. Georgia probably has, legitimately, the strongest argument that they have the most talented roster in all of college football. They've got the transfer tight end from LSU, Eric Gilbert. They've brought in another top three or four recruiting class, right? Got really big receivers now. Of course, they're going to be missing George Pickens for at least the first 7 or 8 weeks of the season. He's coming back from a torn ACL in the spring. But they've got really good running backs, Zamir White, Cook, Kearis Jackson. They're really talented. And they've got some real difference makers up front. And the last couple of times we've seen Clemson in big games, they've gotten their asses kicked. They took a spanking against LSU in the College Football Playoff National Championship game.
I thought they would win that one too.
They took another big whooping last year against Ohio State. That defense hasn't performed up to its previous standard under defensive coordinator Brent Venable. And also, given that the fact that Georgia is starting to open up the offense a whole lot more and use those athletes that they've got, I'm going to go with Georgia here. And Georgia is also going to be one of my four teams I think is going to make the playoff.
Okay, that's interesting. So who would be your other three? Just go into it.
So
I already got Georgia as the fourth.
So Georgia's going to be four.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Alabama,
okay,
Ohio State, Oklahoma, and Georgia. Georgia has, like I said, a top to bottom. They're up there with Alabama as having one of the best three or four rosters in college football. They can beat them. They can. The reason they haven't is quarterback play and bad play calling from the offense, bad, you know, coordinator stuff. But it's kind of like with LSU. Once LSU decided to come out of the dark ages and run a modern offense, you saw what happened. Georgia's going to be the next one. Georgia's loaded.
So you're calling it right now?
Like, don't be shocked if Georgia wins the SEC.
Okay. I remember that. I'll hold you to that.
Like, but even last year when Georgia played Alabama, they were up at halftime.
Mm-hmm.
They were right there with them. Even in the 2018 SEC championship game, they were right there with them, right? A couple of bad calls by Kirby Smart, and it was over. In the national championship game, they were right there with them. Second and 26 to Devontae Smith ended all of that. But, you know,
yep.
A play here, a play there, Georgia's national champs.
This is true.
But we're going to leave it right there, because we are out of time here on the program. So, Kennedy Miller, I have to thank you once again for hanging out with me. Where can they find you on Twitter?
_ Kennedy Miller _. Again, that's _ Kennedy, as in the former U.S. Senator Robert Kennedy. Miller, as in the, well, can we say that she's arguably the greatest women's basketball player of all time, Cheryl Miller? _ Kennedy Miller _.
You absolutely can. Aaron, where can they find you, my good man?
You can find me on Twitter at SlendermanZ00. Again, that is SlendermanZ as in zebra, 00.
All right, you can find me on Twitter at AlexGoodwinTSM. Again, that's on Twitter at AlexGoodwinTSM. That's T as in Tom, S as in Sarah, M as in mother. This has been the Game Plan Podcast, everybody. Once again, wherever you're listening and however you're listening, we appreciate you guys for listening. For Kennedy Miller and Aaron Okonafua, my name is Alex Goodwin. This has been the Game Plan Podcast. We'll see you next time.